morning. Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster of a show. Joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Brian, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Lots of weekend sports action. I, of course, had to ruin it by going out to Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium. I said, let's go to the ballpark. Everybody looked at me. Everyone in the family said, well, the Mets won Friday and Saturday. There's no way they're going to win Sunday. I'm like, yeah, I know, but let's go. We got to go. We have to do it. I was out of town. Sunday's the only game we can go to. I knew they would lose, but Bri, I took them +2.5, the Mets. I said, all right, you know what? I know they're going to lose. There's no way I'm going to watch them win and sweep the Dodgers here. So +2.5 at -138. And I thought I was a king. 10-0. 10-0.
Well,
what the hell?
I know.
We witnessed a murder.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize actually you were going to the game. I did bet the Dodgers. Just figuring, right? They
smart.
Lose those early games in that series. You talk about all the time betting the Dodgers -1.5, -1.5.
Yeah.
You tried to outsmart it there. It just didn't work.
I figured Dodgers 1.5 or Mets +10.5 was like -2 billion. I thought of putting that with Liverpool at some point. That would have been a nice win. 10-0, Harry. That was, aside from the weather being great, I think it was my most unenjoyable Mets game I've ever been to.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you know, that's the problem sometimes when we go to baseball games. It could just be pure boring and a blowout like that just makes it miserable, right? At least the weather was good, like you said, I guess.
Really bad. Yeah, for a while, I thought we were going to get any hits, Parlay Kid, but we ended up 7 hits, 12-9 now, third in the NL East. I shouldn't complain, except for I wasted a lot of money. Jeez. I mean, it's just rough going to something like that. I know.
How were those shrimp chips, by the way?
We had shrimp chips. My wife found shrimp chips somewhere. I mean, I feel like, by the way, I think there's like a CVS in Dodger Stadium now. I think that's where she found them. So I don't know. There's so much nonsense going on. So much crap. Go ahead, Parlay Kid. Sounds like you want to say something snarky. Go ahead, jump in.
No, I just say the last time I went to Yankee Stadium, the last time I went, I saw the Yankees lose 8-0. They got 3 hit. And it's tough, especially like you going to the Dodgers game and me at Yankee Stadium. We know it's not easy to get in and out of, right?
I know. Yeah.
Such a pain, all that other stuff. You're just hoping you could get to see a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it could be such a letdown. It's like that. It could be like that in any sport.
Yeah.
But baseball more, really.
Baseball more, Harry. You're exactly right.
Look, I went to World Series game last year, guys, and the Diamondbacks had like 2 hits that game. I got shut out. That was crap.
Yeah. The only thing I'll go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sal. But look, the Mets, are they overperforming? I mean, they're 12-9. So you just went to the wrong game.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And we saw Otani hit a homer. And so I guess that was fun for the kids. I don't know anymore. But I will say this. Everyone should wait. If you don't freak out about not buying a ticket to a Major League Baseball game. I guess if you're a group of 10, maybe it has to be arranged ahead of time. But man, the deal on StubHub between Friday night and when I went Sunday morning was just huge. I mean, I got the tickets I was going to get, if I paid for them Friday night, it would have been 3 times as much as I spent. So there's a lot of seats out there, even in El Scario, there'll be like 2% of the tickets are left. So I don't know. That's the only win I feel like I came with out of Dodger Stadium, but good job by the Mets, 12-9. Let's hit NBA game one updates, the Cavs, the Knicks, the T-Wolves, the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Clippers, and the Bucks, and the Thunder are all up 1-0, I would say, Bri, what? 2 of those games were competitive. The last one was the most competitive, Thunder and Pelicans. So, the one thing I'm going to say is, and I know this is because I'm a curmudgeon and everything about the NBA, but I think we get backed into a corner with the NBA because the season is so long and so tedious that we have to make up and serve up stupid proclamations such as, the Bucks are finished and the Mavs are the best team in the West. Now, the Mavs might win that series against the Clippers and the Bucks might lose to the, but you know what I'm saying, Bri? It just seems like we have to glorify everybody who's doing has a hot last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then a team like the Bucks, if they underperform, we throw dirt on them.
Yeah. And look,
am I right about that?
Well, yeah. And look, it means nothing, right? When you get to a playoff game, it's totally, the atmosphere is totally different. And you get to, you know, you have one of those games where Dame just goes off, you know, you're hitting threes. It's one of those. And you saw that a lot from some of these teams, like the Magic game one. I mean, Magic don't shoot threes well anyway, but just couldn't hit a shot. Some of these teams on the road just can't make threes. And that essentially becomes the difference, you know?
Of course. And you could call me what you will, and we'll get to my foolproof system now that really just carries the day here with this. But yeah, I'm going to read you off the stats as we go over these game by game by the losing team and how they did shooting the three ball, because it makes it. And by the way, the Magic can come back and shoot 65% from three, and then it's going to go the other way. So,
and I'll say
the variance is just insane.
I didn't even set you up on this. I was just
you and I
are on the same page here.
right. Well, there's no other way to look at it, honestly. Really, like,
isn't that basically, Sal, the text I sent you guys yesterday? Like, I know, speaking of curmudgeons, me talking about the NBA. It's just, we see what happens at the end of especially at the end of the regular season. And it's the same thing that happened. And then bam, the whole reverse thing happens in the thought process that we all have heading into the playoffs. The exact thing goes the opposite way in pretty much every game.
You can't overreact because of the way the game is played today. Now, Parlay Kid, your Knicks win 111-104. I would say it's a good win. Brunson underperformed and Embiid was in and out of the lineup. But they still won, convinced, not by 9.5 as I like it, but they won by 7. Sixers 12-35. As far as a losing team shooting threes, that's not terrible, actually. And yet it is terrible. But anyway, say some, give us your thoughts on the Knicks.
Yeah, look, they won a game that they actually did not play well in, right? The Knicks, Brunson did not have a good game. By all accounts, I mean, he made some shots when he had to, made some plays when he had to. Hardenstein had a very poor game. Devo had a very poor game. They were really carried by McBride and Mitchell Robinson, two of their reserve players at this point in that contest. And they still got a win against a Sixers team that got off to a good start in the first half and then got off to a good start in the second half. The Knicks were resilient as they always are. And they found a way to win a game where they did not play their best game. They seemed to be a little too amped up for the game, you could say, the Knicks. And it almost hurt them. But a good win nonetheless, even though, Sal, you know, you have your 9.5.
Yes.
You know, my theory, you know, my slam dunk, which is hit time after time after time.
Yep.
Obviously, with the exception of the Knicks, I root for these home teams to lose game one so I can crush it coming back in game two. No opportunity this year.
No.
I cannot believe it. It is gone. I'm
not
so
even
disappointed.
In hockey, which where it doesn't even work as well.
And hockey doesn't. I try to stay away in hockey, but I can't believe what has happened. And like you said, not even really close to happening. For the most part. Holy smokes.
Right. 14-0 the home teams were between hockey and basketball. Matter of fact, Mikey Meatballs dug up this email from our buddy Matt Maraconda.
Yes.
Boy, this seems a little high though, Bri. I know he laid it out here. He put in the 14 favorites and what would pay 565-1, basically, if you had all favorites on a money line.
On the 14?
Yeah.
Trying to think.
I mean, there was one plus, right? Plus 130. And then
the Bucks were about even, right? Plus 100.
About three coin flips. I'm looking in here. Yeah. But then, there weren't too many minus 12. There's a minus 1200 in there. Otherwise, I don't know. All right. That's insane. 565-1. Nobody was on it, but what
nuts.
Are you going to do? I don't know what this is here. Oh, sorry. Things going on. What do I want to say here? All right. So let's backtrack, Parlay Kid, to the first game on Saturday, which is Orlando Cleveland 97-83. We spoke briefly about it. The Cavs winning. This is, and we spoke briefly about their 3-point percentage. Orlando 8-37. Awful. Absolutely awful. I wouldn't wish this series on anyone, by the way. Donovan Mitchell had 30, but this is the one I'm going to tune into the least. Like, if we had to do a race to 10 with this on, if we had to, I would say let's pass. Let's enjoy our family or something. So 97-83, don't really care where it goes. Clippers 109-97. Guess what? Mavs, what were they? 10-4. Oh, were they here? I can't even keep up with this. 10 for 33, the Mavs were from three. And yet, Bri, Ed, do you think anyone want to talk about was Luka's fat? It's all people who were at the game were saying that on various text exchanges, on social media. 33, 13, and 6. And he's like, he's fat.
Well, whenever the Mavs start playing well and I bet them to win a series and then all of a sudden they shit the bed like that, then I like to take little digs at him because, it was one of those things. And I know Bill had said it, right? It's like, all of a sudden, it's like, you get into this playoff environment. It's like they weren't ready for that game at all. Mm-hmm. And part of that has to... Again, his numbers are there, Luka, but sometimes it's like the speed at which he plays for. I think, something. I mean, he's gonna have to pick it up. Even again, the numbers are there, but there's something about them that's missing.
The numbers were after the fact, though. The numbers were after the fact that they put up 30 in the first half, and then they make a little run in the third quarter. But that's when Clippers are giving them baskets just to get the game rolling along because they're up 25.
Dubots, Harden, and Paul George all in their 20s. And so the Clippers have the 1-0 lead and underdog at home for game two. We'll talk about that later. Bucks and Dame had a 35-point game. Just like you said, like everybody's got a superstar, right? And if they're hot, they're going to be back in. It doesn't matter how they play down the stretch. Huge win for Milwaukee. I mean, I picked the Pacers to win game one and the Bucks to win the series. No, it's the other way, possibly. Bucks win game one, and it's all about when we're going to see Giannis back. And it's also all about 8 for 38 from three for those Pacers, parlay kid. Yeah, Pacers are fun to watch, but when they're not playing defense and they can't hit that three ball, they're like everybody else, right?
Yeah, they're the what the new NBA is totally about. Yeah. And I think Harry would agree with me with this. Harry, since the All-Star game, has Halliburton been right? I just feel like he hasn't been as good. Am I correct when I say that? Like
you're absolutely right. The numbers haven't been there. He didn't show up yesterday. He had 9 points. Didn't have a double-double in any of the categories. And since then, basically his numbers are definitely down from the beginning of the season. And so at least he'll have to at the All-Star break where he was a lot of the talk of the NBA at the time.
I know, right? Since they got Siakam, he hasn't been as dynamic. The team might be just as good, but he just hasn't been the same player.
I think I know what it is, though, Darren. I don't know if you remember, and Harry had taken him from that All-Star game for the MVP, and then after the first quarter, he was so good. Harry sent the text out with his stats and how great he was. And after that,
I'll take the hit on that one.
So why didn't you say that, Harry, when the parlay kid asked you in the first place? You should have said that was it.
I don't remember. I'm old. Brian's the young one. Brian remembers everything.
By the way, I noticed Harry's got boxes packed in behind him. Are you leaving? Are you forced to leave your house? Finally, we knew this day would come. Yeah.
Ken fired me. I'm packing.
Okay, that's it. Pack it up. Probably all of his
personal belongings right there, too.
It's just his lunchbox.
Guess what? I don't need that many boxes.
All right. Lakers Nuggets, 114-103. They just can't beat them. This is 9 in a row. They had a nice lead. Again, now 8 for 29 Lakers from 3. Jokic 32, 12, and 7. AD had a good game too. 32, 14, and 5. It's just Harry. This is, and I know you had the Lakers who were up at half by a few and were up even more than that in the second quarter, but the Nuggets go on these runs and they're the best team in the West. I don't really want to hear about like OKC and Minnesota, even though they got the lead and I don't know all these newer teams, but
You're right. But LeBron had a great game, especially in the first half. AD did his part, but for the Lakers to win one of these games, obviously they need someone else. Someone else has to step up. It's gotta be three guys, not just two. And we thought a lot, and I thought possibly it'd be D'Angelo Russell to have a big game, and he was awful. You just mentioned them shooting terrible from three, Sal. He was one of nine.
Yeah, yeah, he is. We'll get to player props in this game, game two, in a minute. Celtics beat the Heat by 20. They toyed with the Jimmy Butler-less Heat. Tatum, 23 and 10. What did he had a triple-double, right? 23, 10, yeah. and 10? Or 23,
yeah.
11, 10?
Yeah.
Almost didn't cover the 14. Like I think they were up by 32 in the fourth and then just ended up by 20. Might have gotten a 16 or something. Heat, 12 for 37 from three. What's interesting, brought up by our buddy Brian Scalabrine, Tatum was roughed up a little at the end. He's okay. Spoelstra calls a timeout, Bri, with a minute and a half left, down 16. And Caleb Martin like kind of undercuts him on a rebound. Did you see all this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I wonder how much, you know, being physical with them late was because some of those guys were still in the game.
Right.
I will say the Celtics brought the guys back into the game. Right. I mean, I think they were trying to give those guys a rest and then, they didn't do a good job opening up that lead or holding onto that lead a little bit more, but,
Spoelstra might rightly believe we can't beat this team, so let's make take it a little out. Worse for wear in the round two coming up. And the most competitive game, Pel's Thunder. I don't know, like if we gotta go best series, worst series, I'm gonna go Cavs Magic. I don't care if it goes 7 or 13 games or what. I don't want to watch it. You're lucky if there's two quarters in that every game they play where both teams score 20 points. Whatever. I'm fine with a good defensive performance, but they're just boring. And I don't know. And again, because everything has to be exaggerated, Pel's Thunder. All right. Like the one seed scored 6 points in the last 7 minutes to hold off the 8 seed without their best player at home, Parlay Kid. So we're getting excited about the OKC Thunder. But to me, it's Denver. But anyway, is that the most exciting series going forward, Pel's Thunder? I mean, Knicks.
No,
You have the Knicks. Knicks Sixers.
Yeah. It's Knicks Sixers.
Is it?
It's got to be Knicks Sixers. I mean, obviously, Knicks can maybe make that point obsolete with a win tonight.
Right.
Go up 2-0. But don't you feel like that was the Pelicans' chance to win a game last night, steal one? I feel like going forward, I think this is an OKC series. Mm-hmm. Certainly didn't have nowhere near their best ball game. I wouldn't be surprised if that series, you know, would be over in five. It's hard to say, right? I think you're right. It's the Knicks Sixers is our biggest hope to have the best series, even though I'm rooting for that to not be a great series.
Sure.
I really don't want to see it.
Well, let's see some life out of the Pacers.
Mavs, I think the Clips Mavs could get back into, and the Pacers Bucks.
Right.
Could kind of come back to the pack after game one disasters, but not sure about what other ones.
I think I brought this up on some text exchanges previously, but like that's the only problem with some of these series is that I think the overall series is probably good. Like the T-Wolves Suns should be a good series, but I do fear, or the Mavs Clips, I do fear though, if it goes 6-7 games, you're probably going to get one good game, right? I mean, it's probably going to could be
that's
blowout.
The problem.
It could be blowouts on any side. The only one I do think, like the Nuggets, even last year, the Nuggets Lakers, even though the Lakers just can't beat them, they're entertaining series. Like those are hard fought, kind of well played games.
I read a stat that maybe supported this because in this land of three balls, if it goes, you know, you're good. If it doesn't, forget it. You're going to lose by 20. That was the most bulletproof. Now, that said, the Lakers were 8-29, but the Nuggets had won a bunch of games where they were out threed, and the Lakers had the most, you know, games where they won by when the opponent had better three-point percentage. So, yeah, that might be the reason. So, all right. Well, listen, we talked about the home favorites on a roll. I'm okay with a lack of competition in a weekend's worth of basketball games because I – have this -9.5 theory. I have to come up with a name for it. The nifty 9.5 something. I take both teams in a given game to win by 9.5 or more, an adjusted spread, right? So FanDuel has them take the adjusted spread. So 6 of the 8 games in the NBA this weekend had a double digit winner. So that means I lose 4 automatically. In the 2 games, I lose both sides. So that's 4 losers I have plus the 6 losers in the 6 games where the team is getting outscored by 10 or more. So that's 10 losers. I start at minus 10 units. The Cavs winning by double digits gets me plus 2.2. The T-Wolves gets me plus 2.35. Denver plus 1.4. If you play it that way, right, you're not going to get good odds because they're barely. Celtics were plus 0.4 units, right, because they were supposed to win by 14 anyway. Clippers plus 3.9. Bucks plus 2.9. So I'm up 3.1 units if you add that up. So I maintain this is the way to go in these games. You may lose a couple in a row. It's going to hurt. But the real score happens when one of these 7-point dogs wins by double digits. And I promise it's going to happen. It's going to happen, Bri. Yeah. So congratulate me now on my plus 3.1 units. Pays for my Dodgers Mets plus 2.5 loss. But I think this is the way to go, right? Instead of complaining about how bad the 3-point shooting is, might as well capitalize off of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that variance, I would say, what was it? It was probably... Last year, I think, was a little closer, right? If I could recall.
Towards the end, I think it got the games got tighter.
It was like two and 3 years ago where, especially like the first two rounds were kind of out of control where games weren't even competitive. So it'll be interesting to see if that keeps up here.
And you're going to get the game threes and fours where the inferior team, the lower seed, is home. And then you're going to get a low spread, right? So, it's kind of screwed up, but let's say the Lakers beat the Nuggets by 10 points in game three or something. So you'll get a good number on that. But believe me, there will be a double digit. You're going to be like, what the hell happened with the Heat over the Celtics?
You got to pull one of these game twos out, Sal. One of these underdog game twos, and you'll be fine heading into game three.
Yeah.
Same thing happens again here, or somewhat close, like you just mentioned your record. You pull out one of those underdogs in game two, you're fine heading into game three.
That's it. Thank you. I think I'm fine anywhere. I think plus 3.1 units. I'm putting it on the refrigerator. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we have three games to pick today. All right. Cavs Magic. Yeah, like I said, I wouldn't wish this series on my worst enemy, but Cavs are 5.5-point favorite. They're up 1-0 in the series. 203 is the over-under. Orlando comes to town. We all have like player props here. Oh, no, not really. All right. Parley Kid, you're going to kind of take the game here. Orlando plus 3.5 for the first half.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying. Why is this series, though?
It's a shaky game. It's a shaky series. First thing Saturday, right?
But should it be? But based on like the Cavs have some big time players, right? Magic have some really good young players, but is it the uniform combination here that makes this like?
I don't know.
It is something like that. It is something like that because I know exactly what you're saying. Like the Magic should be a fun team to root for.
It's like you're right though, Sal. But you're so right about it. But look, I'm low scoring games. It seems like in this series, right? That's the way it's trending.
Yeah, so 203 is not a great. Yeah, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So lower scoring, the first game went way under that total as well. So I'm thinking they're betting on a bounce back performance a little bit offensively. I'm not sure if we see that. I think this is a very grinded out type of series. And that's probably what also makes it kind of lackluster too. So I'm just betting on the Magic trying to salvage this season. I really thought they'd have a little bit better performance in game one. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be the bright lights were a little too much for them. But I'm going to take them plus 3.5 in the first half here. And game two, I think they got to get off to a strong start. Being that points are hard to come by. If this game is not close at halftime, I think that's all she wrote in game two. They'll be down 2-0. So I think we at least see a very well-played first half from them. I think they're bound to shoot the ball better after that terrible shooting performance. Sal, let's get into the paint. With Banchero, get him inside, right? Very tough to stop inside. Maybe pick up a foul or two on Allen or Mobley early to neutralize their defense a little bit. So let's take the Magic plus 3.5 in the first half here, Sal.
Okay. Harry, you actually do like to see a lot of points in this game.
Yeah, look, I'm going with a different theory here. Last year in the playoffs, in the NBA playoffs, I'm just being honest, I got butchered. I got butchered last year in the playoffs. Thinking of what I thought was going to happen.
Well, when you say butchered, you mean someone dragged you into like a they thought you were a cow and they brought you into a butcher? What do you mean?
I mean my FanDuel account went way down. That's what I mean. I got butchered. So I got a theory, a theme to my picks today, because I'm just going to go against what happened kind of in game one.
Great.
Of these teams. I mean, it's a theory. Nothing's as good as popular as a try-by theory, but I am I am going to go with, since the game was way under in game one, I'm going to go over in game two. You mentioned, Sal, they were terrible. Orlando from three-point range, 21% in game one. Maybe a little bit of jitters for Orlando. I hadn't been in the playoffs in a while, but I am going to go with the over in game two. Stone Cold under, only 180 points were scored. Now the total sits at 203. I'm rolling with the over. Wagner shows up for Orlando tonight. He didn't on Saturday. Three of the four meetings during the regular season, by the way, between these two, landed on 225 or higher. Mm-hmm. 203 here. Only 180 in game one. Let's go over in game two.
Well, there is something to be said about what you're talking about. Yeah, so like what the parlay kid said, it's great if you could have a loser at home in game one. Then you bounce back with them money line game two. Almost top of the line pick, really. It like just does not lose. 95% over the last 3 years, something crazy. But just reading the line, there is something to, all right, Cavs slaughtered, for lack of a better word, the Magic in game one. Why is this only 5.5? Why isn't this 7? Like they should move the line a little more. The Nuggets never lose to the Lakers and won by double digits. Why is that only 7? So there is something to that. Don't get caught up in the favorite just repeating in game two. And don't get caught up like in an under if it was way under in game one. Bri, you got Suggs as a player prop here.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jalen Suggs over 12.5 at -113. Look, he was much improved player this season, right? A big part of the Magic success, right? He struggled in his first 2 years. But he's one of the few guys, you know, even if you looked at this team make in terms of 3-point shooting, they don't shoot threes well anyway, and they don't make a lot of threes. But Suggs is one of the few guys who consistently makes threes. He's around 40% and makes about 2 a game. His shot was off in game one. He was terrible. I think he was 1 of 7 from three. Still took 16 shots, and he still had 13 points. That's kind of why the reason I like the over 12.5, because even though he was bad, he still went over. And in 4 of his last 5 regular season games to end the season, he scored at least 18 points. So I know this is more of a defensive series, but I feel like in this game, he should knock down 2 or 3 threes and get over that low 12.5 total. I feel like it is low. I feel like it should be like 14.5, but.
All right. I'm going to take a player prop under here. Paolo Banchero under 6.5 first quarter points. I apologize for the VIG, -130, but you really got to get in the gritty for some of these player props, because the lines get so tight as these series get longer and teams get eliminated and stuff like that. He has gone under 7 first quarter points in 13 of his last 16 road games. And over that stretch, he averages a little bit over 4. Takes him a minute to heat up, you know, and like I said, I don't recommend watching the whole game. So this is a good one. You're done by the end of the first quarter. Banchero under 6.5 first quarter points. All right, Barley Kid, you're Knicks. Brother Bry's Knicks, 5.5 point favorite. 205.5, that dropped from 209 versus the 76ers. Tyrese Maxey sick? They don't know. He's going to shoot around, Pauly Kid. What? They don't know if he's playing? Sort of a big piece here, right?
Yeah, it's a very big piece. We've seen this before. You know, Embiid the other night was, right, questionable. He played. Mm-hmm. I would assume he'll be out on the court, but maybe he won't be at 100%, which would be good for the Knicks, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this should be another great game, I would think. I think our pal Jerry Ferrara is going to be there too, right,
Brian? He'll be there.
He said he thought he was communicating with Jerry a lot. So
I thought he was
going to
have
there.
You guys courtside. I thought he was going to have you.
Yeah, one day. This is too big of a game. He'd have to take us to like a Knicks Hornets game.
Yeah. You know,
like something like that. Like
Knicks versus
in that way.
Las Vegas Aces, you know? Or something. Yeah.
Something like that. Something like that. Yeah, this is too big. He can't be seen with us. I mean, there's no way. So I'm going to stay away from the game just because I don't want to jinx the Knicks in any possible way of taking them. So I'm just going to take a player prop here. I'm going to take my man, Isaiah Hartenstein, to go over 7.5 rebounds at -111. He had 7 rebounds in 17 minutes in game one, 13 rebounds in each of his previous two games, not in this series. He, I think himself said he had a very poor game one and would certainly bounce back with a better performance. And one thing you know with Hartenstein when you watch him play, he is all hustle. He's all heart. And he gets to a lot of loose balls. He gets a lot of garbage, rebounds that other guys don't want to get. He can get. And I just need about 8 rebounds for him tonight to hit the over here.
Okay.
He's pretty solid in this department. And I just think he rebounds from a lackluster game one.
All right. Over 7.5. We all have player props here. Bri, this is interesting. FanDuel has this. Josh Hart to score in the first 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, well, I will say that this is a fun one. So they have
Where'd you see this? This is crazy.
First three minutes of the game. Yep, they have it in New York, too. First 3 minutes of the game. And you can parlay like up to four guys, wow. I think, too. Which is fun. Sure. Like you can take him.
They know there's only so many shots in the first 3 minutes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You could parlay Embiid and Brunson is like even. It's fun. But I thought Josh Hart to score in the first 3 minutes +185, which, like I said, the fun one. Great game by Hart game one, especially down the stretch, right? But you don't expect him to shoot threes like that again. I mean, making 4 is a lot for him. But the one thing I will say about watching Josh Hart, right? This guy from the beginning of the game likes to exert himself early. So like whether or not he's driving to the basket or whether or not he's just left wide open, he's going to get a shot here. I feel like he's going to get a shot here in the first 90 seconds. It could be accidentally that he gets a shot here. but I just thought +185 was pretty good. And same thing with like DiVincenzo, I think was like +150. I mean, I feel like one of those two guys early on are getting on the board here.
I like it. I think our race to 10 has inspired more bets put up for the first few minutes of the game.
We definitely could do something like this too if they keep putting these up.
Yeah, for sure.
Now it's like you only have to watch the first 3 minutes. I mean,
we could combine this maybe in the next one. Sure. Race to 10 and a player.
And Heart Attack Tuesday.
Josh Hart. 3 minutes.
right.
Yeah,
Hart,
right.
Heart Attack, Hart and Hart and Hartenstein to score in the first 3 minutes. Parlay. Yeah. I mean, the only thing is I would look at these and just by going by our last few race to tens and Harry, when we were in Vegas, like it seemed to be, although those were college games, but there seemed to be like 40 turnovers in the first 3 minutes of a game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, you might be banking on 4 total shots. Play. Yeah. So that's all right. I'm going to go Tobias Harris over 22.5 points, rebounds, assists. You get +104. Well, without Maxey possibly and Embiid in and out of the lineup, Harris, I think is going to have to step it up. 8 of his last 9, this has hit the over 22.5 PRAs. And he averages 27 over that stretch. He took off the last game. He had 18 points, rebounds and assists, but he's been, it's been hitting a long ball, too. He had 5 versus OKC a couple weeks ago. He had 3 versus Brooklyn the other day. I know this is playoff basketball, different story, but I like this at a plus number. Tobias Harris, over 22.5 points, rebounds, assists, +104. All right, Harry, real quick, give us your same game parlay.
Same game parlay, +206 it pays. Look, if you could say McBride and Hart were the reason why the Knicks won in game one. So I'm going to go the other way with my theory. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go Hart under 13.5 points. I'm going to take McBride under 8.5 points. Now, again, on Saturday, they combined for 43 points. They were 9 of 15 from three-point range. But in the last 3 regular season games McBride played against Philadelphia, he had a total of just 17 points. And Hart, 2 games versus Philly this year, he scored 10 points or less. And for the season, he was 4 of 20 versus Philly from 3-point range in the regular season. They were great on Saturday, going the other way, going under on Hart and McBride, pace plus 206 on the same game.
He's Costanzing his picks already. Yes, he is. Went through one weekend of NBA playoffs, and he's already doing it.
Last year, like I said, butchered every single night in the NBA. So I'm going the other way. What happened from the game before?
All right. And the late game Nuggets minus 7, 224.5. Versus the Lakers again. Like, why isn't this a little higher? But they beat them 9 in a row. Well, I'm actually doing a Harry here. I'm taking the Lakers plus 7. AD played great. So did LeBron. Maybe some fatigue set in at the end for LeBron. I don't know. I feel like D'Angelo Russell, Harry mentioned, 6 for 20. I think he takes a back seat. I feel like that's what happened last year. They kind of marginalized them after a bad game, and it worked to their advantage. Gabe Vincent will have a bigger role. He was in foul trouble early against Denver. I think we see a bigger Austin Reeves game. I know, like, Denver covered 6 of the last 9. They've won 9 in a row, and they've covered 6 of those. I just feel like the series is over if Denver blows them out tonight. It's probably over anyway, but I see the score in the 112-108 range, and so I'm taking the Lakers plus the 7 points. Bri, this is a fun one and a big plus number versus I think what we're going to see in like 2 weeks for Jokic.
Well, triple-double. That's exactly what I felt right here. A triple-double for Jokic is plus 175, right? I mean, this is at some point in some of these games, you're getting like minus 125. You're getting plus 175. Look, he hasn't done it over the last 5 games. So that's really why you're getting that value here. But the guy kind of is due. I mean, against the Lakers, even with AD guarding him, it's pretty much unstoppable offensively. I mean, even last year in 3 of those 4 playoff games, right, he was getting 13 assists. I mean, I think that's where his assists have been a little bit down over the last couple of games. But in that series last year, 3 of his 4 games, he had a triple-double. So I think after getting off 23 shots in game 1, I think in game 2, his assists are going to actually go up here.
Yeah. All right. I mean, like, unlike other bets, like you might, you know, where you have to root for something the fourth quarter, you have to root the whole game, like, you're probably going to have to root for like an assist with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, right?
Right.
Like one thing, like one, maybe a rebound and assist or something. So that's a fun one. All right, Parley Kid, I kind of agree with you here with Austin Reeves having a decent game.
I love this one here. I know I'm paying a little bit here at minus 136, but I love Reeves over 1.5 threes. He's hit this in 6 straight and 7 out of his last 8, basically averages 2 3-pointers a game. I think he's the X factor here for the Lakers. He's very consistent. So he shoots close, you know, 37% from 3. Yeah, he's going to get multiple attempts. So he's going to get 7 to 8 attempts here, Sal. I think this goes over quite easily. Reeves over 1.5 threes at minus 136.
All right. And I don't know, Harry, it's, you know, I know you're going against yourself here, but Russell's terrible in these games. And this is a big VIG. So it's a tough sell. Go for it.
No kidding. Yeah, exactly. Tough sell at minus 142. I don't understand why it's a tie, but I'm taking Russell over 2.5 threes. Bounce back game for Russell after going 1 for 9, like I mentioned earlier in the pod, from 3 in game 1 versus Denver. In fact, he's gone under 2.5 threes in 8 straight playoff games, 5 of them coming against the Nuggets.
And he's had
3 or more threes versus Denver once in his last 11 games, yet he's minus 142 to get 3 tonight. Fishy, I'm going the other way after a terrible game 1. Russell to have at least 3 threes tonight at minus 142. Everything got working against me.
I think you got everyone confused. Anyone within the sound of your voice confused. Back to the butcher shop for you. All right. Well, and now what are we doing? Like, we have this race to 10 thing. The Brother Bri won 3 in a row. We lost a heartbreaking one with the Warriors the other day. They were up 8-6. They had 4 chances to get to 10, and they did not cash in. One of our worst losses, I think, in a while. So now we hand the baton to Harry, who has given up on NBA picks. So are you also going to play your race to 10 Tuesday pick the way you're playing your regular picks? Were you going against what you think, or what's going on here? And which game
I'm going with my new theory. I'm going to go with my theory. And after everyone's game 1, you would think that if there was any team that would have scored, well, I'm just making a point here, 30 points only in the first half, the team that you'd probably pick last would be Dallas. Mm-hmm. Dallas lost the first race to 10 to the Clippers, 10-7. They scored 8 points in the second quarter. They were a disaster in the first half. So with that being said, and the Clippers look fantastic, and it wasn't even Paul George in the first half. George only had 5 points in the first half. So mm-hmm. with that said, race to 10, everything points to the Clippers. So we're going to the Mavs.
I mean, he's nothing if he's not consistent, I would say, Bri, right?
Going to the Mavs.
Mavs minus 125. Minus 125.
Let's go, Kyrie and Luka. Let's go.
Listen, Farley Kid and I are used to Dallas letting us down, so this will just add it on top of the heap there. All right, let's take another break. We got some baseball and hockey picks for you. Be right back. All right, play of the day in the majors here. I'm going to go Twins minus 1.5 plus 108 against the White Sox. Chicago is 3-18. Our pal, Megan Conley Morant, throwing out the first pitch at former Comiskey Park. And you know what? They might just give her the ball and say, stay there. Stay right where you are. You're throwing for us. I mean, they are so bad. And, you know, their first three losses were by one run. They were a gutty team way back in late March, early April, whatever it was. But 13 of their next 15 losses were by two or more runs. Twins not great either. They're 7-13, but they're not unworldly bad like the White Sox. They struggled against the Orioles that beat them up. They picked up a game against the Tigers this weekend. They beat the Dodgers a couple weeks ago. They're not awful. Chris Paddock got shelled versus the O's, but his first two starts were very strong quality starts. Jonathan Cannon on the other side for the White Sox, 23 years old. He's due to get lit up. Correa, Ryan Jeffers bring good numbers into this game. 5-2 final. Give me the Twins minus the run and a half. Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, these White Sox games at home, you see how many fans are there?
Nobody.
Darren gets more fans at his middle school track and field event.
Is that true, Pauly Kid?
It's close. It's close. It's been bad. Harry, you're right. Was there a shot the other day? Were there 1,000 people in the stands?
Maybe. What? I don't even think so.
It's not that big a city. It's not that big.
It is crazy.
Mets get more.
Isn't it crazy with the White Sox, though? Because it seemed like 5-6 years ago, weren't they the hot pick every year? Because it's like, this team is up and coming. Mm-hmm. All this young talent. Now it's
a total restart,
right back to, and even worse.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll pick it up now that I've bet against them. So anyway, all right. Bri, take it away. Phillies looking good. Yeah. They benefited off that weekend against the White Sox.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm going to take the Phillies minus 122. I thought the line was low here again, but at the Reds, and look, the Phillies, I know it's bothering you probably here, but the Phillies won 6 straight. Granted, White Sox and Rockies, who are the two worst probably. But the starting pitching just over that stretch has been awesome. Suarez has been really good, right? Currently has a 1.73 ERA and hasn't given, in his last two starts, didn't give up a run, included 16 strikeouts and 15 innings. So, and you know, the Reds have been playing well too, but in Hunter Green's 3 starts, they haven't won any of those games here. So give me Phillies, even though they haven't played a lot of games on the road, I'll take them at almost a pick 'em here.
Okay. Parlay Kid, Orioles, one of my favorites. I'll let you take them today. I mean, I'll probably bounce back with them in the next podcast, but at even odds, that's a fun bet.
Yeah, you're getting plus 100, right? Exactly, even odds for the Orioles playing on the road against the Angels. And I think the only reason why this is, obviously, is because the Angels are starting Reed Detmers, who's 3-0 mm-hmm. so far to start the season. Whip just under a shade of 1, which he's been great. But Angels losers of 5 out of their last 6. Orioles winners of 5 out of their last 6. It kind of seems like same old Angels, right? I feel bad for their fans too. Some of these teams just always hover around mediocrity, Angels being one of them. Orioles lead the league in home runs right now. They've hit 33 to start the year. They hit the long ball. Albert Suarez had in his own lone start so far for Baltimore was dominant and close to 6 innings. I think Detmers, this may be his time that he loses his first game of the year. And we see the Orioles continue their ascent to the top of the AL East along with the Yankees. Take the Orioles here, getting even money, Sal.
All right, Harry, I saw Dylan Cease, this number minus a run and a half. Not bad. Not bad at Colorado, struggling.
Yeah, and minus 122, I'll take the pods. CCRA is under 2 this year, and in April, He's given up just 300 runs in 18 innings pitch. Plus, he struck out 7 in all 3 of those starts. Plus, the Rockies, worst run differential in the National League and the worst record in the National League. Padres, -1.5.
All right, let's move to hockey. Yeah. 6 home teams, 1 in the NHL. Like I said, 8 in the NBA. It's 14-0. Parley Kid, excited. The Islanders, one of those losses, one of those road losses. And the Rangers win. That's not a fun weekend when the Islanders lose and the Rangers win. But you like the Isles to bounce back in game 2. It's pretty much the series here. Almost 2-1 odds.
Well, I would tell everybody here to go with the underdog in game 2, I think. What I don't like is that some are still playing game 1 tonight in the NHL.
Right.
Who've seemed to botch their playoff schedule. You got, you know, the Knights and the Stars and the Kings and the Oilers going.
Wait,
game 1.
Let's talk about this. So, Mikey Meatballs, when was the last regular season game? Thursday? There was a couple Thursday, right?
That was the problem.
Yeah.
But why is that a problem? Because the NBA had Friday games that the good teams played Sunday, you know, the play-in games. But, right? Get everybody to play game 1 Saturday, Sunday.
Well, they botched it because they had some teams finish Monday, some teams finish Thursday.
Yeah,
The NHL was smart, I mean, I know it's hard to do this and however you have to change the schedule, but try and start a week or two before the NBA, right? And do that, right?
They used to.
Friday, Saturday. Like,
I don't know what happened this year. Yeah.
Wasn't always, though, Brian, Darren, you guys, the NHL always ended the regular season. Everyone play it, whatever. The season ended on Wednesday and that was it. So then playoffs started on Saturday. And the Knights played Thursday night. So now they're playing tonight in game 1 against Dallas.
Something must have happened. There was a lot of those Thursday games weren't makeups or anything.
No, regular season.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Sorry, yeah. Pauly kid. Jump in there.
Yeah. My advice would be to go with the game 1 loser in game 2 here and the 6 winners that we've seen. So far, that's what I would say. And I'm getting the Islanders at +190 tonight. Look, a little bit of a homer pick here. But if you watch game 1, I think the Islanders probably outplayed the Hurricanes for a good portion of that game. Really a 2-1 game, the empty net goal to end it for the Hurricanes. And 2 kind of fluky goals from the Hurricanes. Not great. Terrible call by official in game 1 that really led to the Hurricanes' first goal as well. Varlamov, the Islanders' goaltender, has been excellent now for a long stretch of play. I think he stays hot here and gives the Islanders a legit chance to win. Islanders get a little luck here tonight. They haven't had any luck really against the Hurricanes in the last between last year and this year in the playoffs. I think we see a little luck go their way tonight. I'll take the +190. These hockey teams are desperate, and we know the home advantage is not as huge in hockey as anywhere else.
Well, I'll say this. As far as series price goes, updated, the Rangers are -1,050 to finish off the Caps. And the next highest is Carolina, -850. You get +570 on the take back there for the Islanders if you want it. But I will. And the other thing is, if you follow the Parlay Kid's advice, all those road team game 1 losers are pluses, except for Colorado's a pick 'em against Winnipeg. So take a look there. All right, Bri, what do you have? Harry, you have this game going overtime. What is this now?
Overtime. Listen, Islanders Carolina goes to overtime +350. 6 playoff games so far. We mentioned the NHL, 0 went to overtime, way overdue. game one was 1-1 heading into the third. Parlay Kid mentioned in 4 regular season meetings between these two, 2 of them went to overtime. And Darren also mentioned in 2023, last year in the playoffs, Carolina, kind of fortunate against the Islanders in the playoff series, beat the Islanders 4-2, but 1-2 of them that went to overtime.
Right.
Yeah. All right. It's so interesting.
I like this. I kind of like this.
I'm going to go Bruins.
Let's go. Islanders 3-2 tonight. 3-2 final an OT.
Go.
I was just going to say, it's got to be OT. Got to be OT.
3-2. Double OT.
You want to say triple hire? It sounds even more important.
I won't push it that far. I'm pushing it. Money.
I'm going to go Bruins Leafs under 5.5 plus 102. My only remaining future is Bruins to win the cup. Let me look at this. They're 11-1 now. What did I get them at? Not that, right? I got them at 17-1. All right. Okay. I didn't do terribly on these. I didn't do so bad. Matthews to win the Hart and McDavid to win the Hart is where a lot of my losses came from. But to make the playoff parlay paid well for me. So that's my my remaining future right now. Anyway, under 5.5. The under has hit in 8 of the last 10 Bruins games. They put up 5 in game 1, which is an anomaly, really. Brad Marchand hasn't scored in 15 of 17 games. I'm betting on defense and goaltending and no empty netters. They've allowed 2 or fewer goals in 7 of the last 9. And here's what's great about hockey. Swayman had a great game, just a tremendous game in goal in game 1. And he might not start. They move these goalies in and out. It doesn't matter how bad it really is something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm going to go under 5.5 plus 102. Brian, you're going with Harry's favorite, Draisaitl, the score.
Yeah, I know. Harry's boy here. I do like that under. Ooh. You know, that and the Islanders series. It's a good chance a lot of those games are going under here. But yeah, mm-hmm. Harry's boy, Draisaitl, to score a goal at plus 155. I don't know if you recall last year, right? In the playoffs, he got super hot to start off the playoffs. I think he had 13 goals in his first 8 playoff games last season. 2 years ago in the playoffs against the Kings, he had 5 goals in 7 games as well. So he's kind of a playoff monster here. So I thought plus 155, it seems like he's going to be like a goal every other game here. So I thought plus 155 was good odds.
All right. There you go. We're on the board with hockey picks. It's been a while, fellas. So we'll do that. And all right. Oh, boy. We'll come back. Bet aches. Scotty Scheffler talk. A little NFL draft talk. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the D3 in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
Polly Kid, Harry, you're off the hook. Brother Brian and I had to suffer through Haney against Garcia. Haney minus 600. It's a minus 750 at some point last week going into this against Ryan Garcia, who we thought completely lost his mind, just losing it on social media, gets kicked out of Citi Field. God knows why. He was supposed to throw out the first pitch before the fight, has like violinists playing in the his dressing room, right? And is in the locker room, and like went out there and is like screaming at Haney, all the makings of a complete mental breakdown, Oliver McCall style, right? Pauly Kid, remember him? How he cried in the ring. That's what
cried.
To a point where like Raheem Palmer, Ringer Wise guys, East Coast Bias was saying, hey, take the disqualification. Who the hell knows what Ryan Garcia is going to do here? That went from 80-1 to 50-1. Then you couldn't find it. I saw it at 14-1 before the fight started. So this could have gone all different ways. The way it went though, Bri, is not the way we had it. I had Haney on a bunch of parlays. You did too. Right.
Yeah. Look, I had him at minus 900. I told you last week I liked him maybe a potential late stoppage, 7-12, just because, again, they didn't know Garcia's mental status. But the one thing I will say about that bet is I did put the bet in, you know, earlier last week. And it is a little, I will say for Garcia, it's a little bad that, you know, all of a sudden, he weighs in 3.5 pounds overweight.
Forgot to mention that.
Four pounds overweight. And I'm sure he was trying, but the way he played it up, it's like he wasn't even trying. I mean, he's posting immediately on social media, like, I don't care. I feel great. It's like, that's a big difference when somebody's sucking weight versus somebody else who's not really sucking weight.
But also, didn't it lend towards the he's crazy narrative?
Right.
He can't make weight. That made me like Haney more. Like,
you're
like, oh, yeah, he's not serious at all about any of this, you know? So.
Yeah. No, you're right. Although I, at the end of the day, now that the fight has happened, I feel like it definitely, it was definitely a huge benefit. I mean, kudos to Garcia. I mean, he was, especially late in that fight, he was phenomenal. He started off early well in the fight, ended the fight really well. I'm surprised Haney made it through, right? Mm-hmm. Like some people still had Haney winning that fight, which is hard.
Right.
When you get knocked down in three different rounds, right? I mean, it's hard to win a fight.
And in one of the rounds he was knocked down in, Garcia had a point taken off, right? So yes.
Holding. That was another
that was a 9-8. That was a 9-8 round.
Yeah.
But
didn't one judge have it a draw? One judge had a draw, right?
I mean, I thought it was going to be a draw. I was like,
yeah.
I thought Garcia should probably get the win. But I'm like, these judges, it's going to be a majority draw. I just thought two cards would have a draw and one would have Garcia or something. Brian, is that how you thought, like going into it? Or I don't know.
Yeah, because after that first round, I mean, Haney, you know, took control from rounds 2-7 or 2-6.
He only fought when he wanted to, I guess. Like he picked his spots. It shouldn't have worked, but he only fought a little bit of the fight, you know?
Yeah, it'll be interesting if there is a rematch, what'll happen. But
I like it. I don't know if they should do it next week, because who knows? He's still nuts, Ryan Garcia. So I don't know if he's around, but that's our bet ache. All right. Boy, Scottie Scheffler. He did it again. Bry, you had him in your Sharp Tank to go top five. He's like, screw this. I'm winning the whole thing. Now, they called it early, but he had, a five-stroke advantage when they called it, Harry? Yeah. So, 19. No,
They called it last night, but I mean, they finished up the last three holes and before people even woke up this morning. It was kind of weird.
All right. So, he beats the Gala by three, minus 19 to 16 under.
What if his wife had the kid? What if his wife had the kid last night?
Right. He's just, is he going to play Thursday too? I don't even know what tournament, but he's just, it's funny. I don't know who said it. I think Super 70 said it. He's like, why not take your choices are take this live money and live comfortably or get your teeth kicked in every week by Scottie Scheffler. I don't know what's better at this point. My God, Carly kid, nothing going here. You're stupid to bet anyone else at this point.
Yeah. And the only thing is that there's not a lot of money to be made on Scheffler anymore. It seems right? So it's one of those things where, you bet him, win, but there's not a lot of value in Scheffler. And he's obviously deserving of that. He's been amazing. We haven't seen a run like this, I guess, since Woods, right?
Yeah. By the way, he's not, forget about the top tens, the top fives. His last 51 starts, 10 wins.
Stupid. He's winning 20% of his tournaments over a year and a half.
Silly numbers.
I think he's off this week, Brian. You're going to have to think of a new Shark Tank. I'm sorry. I'm looking. Honda, not spelled Honda like the car, HANDA championship. He's nowhere to be found on this odds board. So
What do you think those live guys are like, those top, what do you think those guys are feeling? They don't care because they have the money, or are they like, those guys have to have, like, it's got to be bothering them though, right? Like, this guy is
a little bit, because Scheffler does get the headlines, but at least the headline isn't, from Koepka's perspective, isn't Scheffler outshines Koepka in the fourth round. You know what I mean?
So right.
I guess you're okay with that
and
part
of
it.
And if Koepka did win, let's say 2 of 3 or 3 of 6 tournaments in and live, no one would still care. Right. No one would still care.
Absolutely. One more thing before we say goodbye. We're going to, our next podcast, we're going to dive deeper into the props, the NFL draft props. NFL draft is this Thursday. I hope you heard us on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. We gave a boatload of picks there. We gave a boatload more the other day on the podcast before that. One thing I want to say real quick, let's bring this up. JJ McCarthy is jumping up the board for the number two pick. Our friend Little A pointed this out to us. What was he, Brian? Like 30-1 to be the number two pick? Now he's 9-1.
Originally, it was definitely way higher at some point.
Higher.
And then it went to 30, then 11, then 8. Is it 8 now? What is it?
I'm saying 11. 9. I'm looking at 9 now. 9-1. Jaden Daniels, minus 175. Drake May, plus 175. And J.J. McCarthy, 9-1. Everything I'm reading is the Vikings are in love with them. And would they trade up that much, Parley Kid? I don't know. But those numbers.
I don't know. I don't know why. I'm just dumbfounded by the whole thing with McCarthy. I
I think everyone says the same thing. Like he's good. He got the job done. He was impressive when he had to be. Just doesn't look like a top three. But then again, who the hell? They're so wrong about everything every year.
It's hard to say.
What does it matter, right? So how can we even analyze these guys? Yeah.
Michigan relies on their defense, right. and a lot of their running game. Corum was great. Edwards was great during the regular season. So it's a lot of things that McCarthy doesn't have to do that other quarterbacks like Penix and Nix had to do at Oregon and Washington. So you don't see the numbers, but still he's solid. I know Mel Kiper in his mock draft, he's got, like you just mentioned, Sal, he's got the Vikings trading up to 5 with the Chargers to take McCarthy there. So,
That would
wild card. You don't know exactly what you're going to get from McCarthy.
All right, we're going to go over that. We're going to go over under quarterbacks taken, lots of stuff
fun.
Unmined soil here, as you might say. All right, so that's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs and the D3, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.